Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Good morning. This is NPR News. I'm Chris Farrell, in the day for Carrie Miller. In this hour, we're going to take a close look into President Trump's so-called skinny budget. But first, let's check in with Ken Rudin, the political junkie on The Week in Politics. Hello, Ken.
Good morning, Chris.
What I want to start off with is we have a Republican Congress. We have a Republican president who marketed himself as the closer, the deal maker. And I remember him saying over and over again that, you know, the American people were going to get tired of how often he won making deals. So how much does pulling this health care legislation hurt the rest of the administration's agenda?
Well, it hurts very much right now. I don't know how long-lasting it is. People are talking about this could really be a great issue for the Democrats in 2018. We are way, you know, this is way premature to make judgments like that. Remember when the Republicans shut down the government in 2013? Everybody said this will really hurt the GOP in 2014, and they did great. When Donald Trump was grabbing women, that would hurt, that would destroy his presidential candidacy. That proved not to be true. So let's not make predictions, but we can say right now that you're absolutely right, Chris. The Republicans have spent 7 years saying that once we have power, which means a Republican president and Republican control of Congress, we will repeal and replace Obamacare. President Trump said it, candidate Trump said it on the campaign trail over and over again since his inauguration. He said that's his first job he's going to accomplish. As you point out, we're going to get tired of all this winning because, you know, he'll produce all this winning. And certainly the Republicans did not win over the weekend.
So, I mean, this is one of the things. Do Republicans in Congress fear Trump less? Because remember, he made that sort of quasi joke to Representative Meadows and I think a couple of other people that, you know, we'll come after you. And yet it doesn't seem that that had much of an effect on the votes.
Oh, I don't think that was a quasi joke at all. As a matter of fact, what I think Trump does, since Trump is so used to winning, so used to getting his way, of course, running, you know, campaigning is much easier than governing. It's much easier to be the party of no than the party of yes. So both Trump and Congress learned lessons here. But for him to say that I'm going to threaten Republicans with retribution if you don't vote for it, well, the fact is what he didn't know, what the president didn't realize, is that this was a very unpopular bill with rank-and-file Republicans, not only the House Freedom Caucus, which felt it was just Obamacare light and wanted more cuts. But many moderate Republicans said, this is crazy. It's just, you know, it'll increase the number of people without coverage. It'll raise premiums. It's not what we campaigned on. So I think from Donald Trump on down, the Republican Party just misread the party and also misread what was in the bill because it proved to be extremely unpopular.
So now what does this mean for thinking about tax reform? Because in one sense, I always feel, look, the one thing Republicans can always agree on is cutting taxes. I mean, that is just a very powerful mantra. And yet again, you have Paul Ryan has sort of written a bill that's got a controversial element to it with the border adjustment tax. And is tax reform going to be as easy as it seemed even 6 weeks ago?
Well, I love that question because tax reform was never going to be easy. The tax code hasn't been adjusted since 1986. And the reason that's the case is because it's just been so difficult. It's true. Lowering taxes, lowering corporate taxes, lowering individual taxes, that probably is easy. But the big thing, as you point out, is what the Speaker Ryan is talking about is, like, for example, raising taxes, an import fee on things coming in from Mexico, which would raise prices, which would cost everything much more, make everything more expensive in this country. So the thought that, well, okay, now we go from the easy stuff of healthcare to the more difficult thing of of tax reform, it's going to prove to be very, very difficult. And the Republican Party is definitely not on the same page on taxes. I thought they were more united on health care than they were on tax reform. So this is not going to be easy either.
And this is where, and I don't want this to be a cynical statement. I mean, businesses have done their operations around the tax code. They have developed certain procedures. So they're going to be coming to Congress and saying, well, if you do this, this is really going to affect our bottom line. And they're going to be on opposite end of the spectrums if you're an exporter or an importer.
That's absolutely true. And matter of fact, Republicans have been hearing that as soon as Speaker Ryan came up with his plan, that would, yes, lower rates and they would reduce loopholes. But again, as you point out, the tax on the imports turned out to be very unpopular with many corporations, with many people realizing that things would cost much more with those kind of taxes. So again, not only, and the Republican Party usually does listen to corporate America. Maybe some of the Freedom Caucus people feel that the Republicans listen too much to corporate America. But the point is, they have a big voice in that kind of policy, in tax policy. And again, so the Republicans are going to need to go back to the drawing board. I mean, what Ryan did, one of the mistakes that Paul Ryan did was that he wrote the plan in secret. He wrote it with very little input from anybody else other than his close advisors. And then he said basically a take it or leave it vote within 17 days after it was announced.
Yeah.
Trump was behind it 100%, even though privately he said he had some reservations. But Trump was behind it. Ryan was behind it. The members were not behind it. If you're going to have something that a tax code change that Republicans could rally around, you're going to need some much more kind of writing, much more kind of input from all different angles, certainly more than they have right now.
So now, on the positive side for the Republicans, Neil Gorsuch, I mean, he was in front of the Senate for several days. His reputation was intact. He did well. So that's good. That's going in favor. So how do you see that spinning out, the Supreme Court nomination?
Well, one thing that has nothing to do with the other. And the reason I say that is because if the Republicans were disunited, in disarray over the health care bill, I think it's the Democrats who are really in disarray over the Gorsuch nomination, because to a person, there are 52 Republicans in the Senate. Everyone supports Gorsuch. There is thought to be, even though they haven't endorsed him yet, there are thought to be a handful of Democrats, perhaps Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Joe Donnelly maybe of Indiana, some moderate centrist Democrats who come from Trump red states who are under tremendous pressure from folks back home to vote for Gorsuch. At the same time, there are progressive groups who are feeling newly emboldened by the Republican defeat on health care, who are demanding Democrats stay vote no on Gorsuch. There's no question in my mind anyway that Gorsuch gets confirmed. The real question is whether the Republicans can get 60 votes behind the nomination. If they can't, and right now it looks like they can't, then it looks like Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell will change the rules, as Democrat Harry Reid did years ago, change the rules to eliminate the filibuster altogether and pass Gorsuch through with just a majority vote, not 60 votes. Either way, Gorsuch gets on the Supreme Court.
So do you think it's a mistake for the Democrats to force the Republicans, force the Republicans to embrace the nuclear option if we get there?
It's too late. I mean, you know, I thought that Harry Reid made a mistake in 2013 by getting rid of the filibuster on all, like, for example, on all these cabinet nominations. If there was still a filibuster angle to the cabinet nominations, people like, you know, Betsy DeVos would not have been confirmed as education secretary. As it turned out, she only squeezed in on a 51-50 vote because of Vice President Pence. So the Democrats, I think, hurt themselves back in 2013 by getting rid of the filibuster for lower nominations. Mitch McConnell said it's going to bite them in the end, and as it turned out, it has. But again, you eliminate the filibuster, you really basically, the relationships between the majority and the minority parties in the Senate, no matter which party controls the majority or the minority, is going to be at a rock bottom. And I suspect that it's not going to look good for the next 4 years of the Trump administration.
So one last question. Congressman Nunes, did I say his name right? Congressman Nunes of California?
Nunes.
Nunes of California. So what's going on here? I mean, he hints that Trump was included in some monitoring. Then he kind of backs down from that. Then he says there's going to be a public hearing. Now there won't be a public hearing. I mean, what's going on here?
This is absolutely remarkable. He's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. And for the beginning, it looked like he and Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat on the committee, were determined to get an honest hearing on what Trump relationship, if any, the Trump administration officials had with Russia and what kind of influence Russia had with the election in 2016. When you have Chairman Nunes going to the Trump White House and saying, we've learned all these things and let me tell you about what's going on. Well, you're either a Trump ally or a Trump stooge, depending on who tells you this, or you're heading up an independent investigation. And if you can't run a fair investigation out of Congress, then maybe it is time for an independent investigation outside of the House Intelligence Committee.
Well, I have a feeling we're going to be talking about this a lot in the future, but thanks a lot. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Chris.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie.